Speaker 4. I haven't had those on here in probably 10 years.
Have you ever had a good vegetable lasagna?
No, I have. Well, I've only probably had lasagna like once in my life. Maybe sounds crazy to some people.
Just
Yeah, I understand that, but after moving here, I have to say that people have crazy food habits. I met somebody recently that had never had an orange.
Really?
You don't know how to come back from that. It's like, I don't
Well, it's probably not someone who's local to California.
No, she was from Michigan, but even still.
Even still, that's kind of far-fetched. Like, I would think maybe someone not from the United States, if you're saying orange, because that's such a standardized fruit product.
And we even get out oranges here on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's been.
I went a month and a half before someone told me that Tuesday stuff was just, yeah, if you grab on that side, it's fine. If you take on that side, it's not. Like, oh, thanks for the information.
Yeah, interestingly, my manager told me on your first day, just have one, be frugal. Just one orange. Yeah, that's it. Don't pick the second one.
I mean, is that frugality, or is that just being greedy at that point?
Yeah, at least he pointed to frugality. I don't know what he had in mind.
Well, frugality is a frame of reference. So, I mean, if you take two, it's better for you, right? Because now you've had more food, you can spend less on lunch. So, it's all a frame of reference.
How do you like the food?
And for a vegetable lasagna, it's not that bad.
I like it too.
No, I need to be all vegetarian.
No.
Chicken is okay, yeah. Interestingly, this is getting famous in India as well.
Lasagna?
Lasagna, yeah.
Oh.
Isn't there usually, but like with dairy, that's okay there?
The what?
The dairy and the cheese aspect of it?
Yeah, this should be okay, yeah. Anything vegetarian is okay.
Well, I hear that some cheeses aren't vegetarian because they use like some part of like the insides of some animals to make the cheese.
Yeah, probably those must not be available there, but the vegetarian, yeah. I catch it.
Well, that's like Jell-O's not vegetarian.
Yeah. But it's very good. That's about as good.
Yeah.
That's the one that people are like, really?
And you could also make like agar jelly into Jell-O. It won't be totally the same, but it's pretty similar.
Probably. I mean, I just meant the generic store-bought kind
Yeah.
of one that most people grew up with in the United States.
I have a roommate who is vegan, and she always pulled out the like, "Oh, did you know Oreos are vegan?" And people were like, "What?"
What?
They're vegan. They're still processed with
Yeah. With like,
enough
oh,
preservatives last
cream.
10 years.
Well, they say like, you know, the cream part, you think it's like a milk product of some sort.
It's not.
No.
Where are you guys originally from? Like, you're not from the United States, I guess?
Texas for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which part?
Austin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that makes sense.
Yeah,
About
parents
Southern
are just
California.
different.
Okay.
I'm from Colorado. Well, at least most, well, growing up from Colorado.
Yeah, I'm originally from India, but the longest I've stayed in the United States is Texas as well. Yeah, I went to school there in Houston.
Houston?
Then I was working in San Antonio for a bit.
So by school, you're talking university level or
Yeah,
like a
university level, yeah.
And
Mas-
U of H?
master's.
Hmm?
Yeah, U of H, that's right.
So I'm curious, what was the biggest difference that you biggest difference
Most jarring.
between from the culture in India to Texas?
I would say we had quite a bit of culture shocks to get started with. Probably education wise, I guess this is much more systematic, much more hands on. The coursework is what I found. India is like more theory-ish, at least the bachelor level. And then Texas was like a bit of a different place because like, you know, it's so big. So maybe the land aspect like, you know, was kind of overwhelming because it like took 3 hours to get anywhere. And we wouldn't have cars because we had just come in. Like, so that made life a bit tricky.
Yeah, Houston is hard
Houston
without
is hard,
car.
yeah, very hard.
Or Texas in general.
Yeah. And the place that I came from in India is like very well connected, at least public transportation wise. So yeah, that was a big difference. Apart from that, obviously missing family. That was big.
Population density probably also
Yeah,
helped.
oh yeah.
I mean, going from somewhere like India where I think it would be the space of our table here, there'd be like double the people
Double
in
the
it.
people, oh yeah, easily, easily.
I think it's funny that three of us recently spent time in Texas cuz last year I moved here from Texas.
Oh, really?
In particular
Okay.
Houston, so but yeah, population density is definitely different. Houston is one of the bigger cities, higher population, but the second loop around the city is actually contains more area than the entire state of Connecticut.
Wow.
So
You're talking about Beltway 8?
Yes.
Yes.
And
Okay,
now
yeah.
they're building the new Grand Parkway that's even farther out.
Yeah. Houston is kind of nice, humid, but widespread and then, you know, like a lot of good food.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, you said nice and humid in the same sentence.
Yeah, depending
Yeah.
on what part of India
And a bit
you're coming.
polluted still with from all the refineries around there.
Depending on what part of India you're coming from,
Right, that's
humidity
true.
may not be that big
Yeah,
of a deal.
yeah, that's true.
Are there parts of India that are like very dry or
Probably.
are you saying the humidity is not as bad?
There are some parts of India which are dry, mostly around like the northern parts which are more landlocked. But I come from like the coastal places though. So humidity was not a problem for me dealing with that. But I can see like because when I used to kind of go to Dallas because of my uncle and then head back to Houston for a day or two, I used to feel that, okay, this is different. Austin is nice. Austin is probably like California without the coast.
Yeah,
Yeah, extremely
transitioning
liberal.
here was like not
Yeah,
an issue.
yeah. Extremely liberal. Yeah.
I had assumed though that like that if I left Texas everything would be smaller and closely packed together. So I was really surprised like how long it took to get to places cuz I assumed it'd be super fast. And I also had assumed that like, oh, California is like super liberal, they might have like a better public transit system. It's better than Austin, but it's not as good as I
You mean like the distance from places in California? Like the expectation of thinking I could just jump in a
Distance
car and
and
drive to Southern California and then not realize it's 8 hours?
No. Like for example, South Bay to San Francisco. I thought that would be like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't also see like it was like it's roughly like 35-40 miles. I
Yeah.
didn't realize it would be roughly an hour with traffic or
Yeah.
like just
If
low
it's
traffic.
an hour with traffic, you're doing good.
With low traffic.
Yeah, I guess California is a big state too. So I think it's like pretty comparable to Texas. Like not as big as that, but probably if you go to like Connecticut or say a place like that, maybe it's much more connected. Would get
Yeah, but in general in Texas with that big land, you can actually see the speedometer go past 20 miles an hour. I mean, here during rush hour I can get out and walk and beat the next car home.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, that's true.
Population
Talking about
density,
it,
yeah.
Ubers and then it's like you're walking past the Uber.
Interestingly, I read about Austin Airport that they so Ubers are not allowed to come at the arrival, so they go to the departure. And the actually end up coming out from departing Chandigarh. And then, you know,
A lot of
That's confusing.
Yeah.
A lot of laws because of the taxi unions, like they
Yeah,
can't go
yeah,
to airports.
exactly, yeah.
It's been, it was that way for a long time. There's only like two airports they went to. Like I remember flying to LAX and you call a car and the guy's like, "Hey, I'm turning my sign off," and you're like, "Say what?" And they're calling you like, "Oh yeah, okay." You're like, "Oh, that's right."
Anyone have any vacation plans this summer?
Oh, yeah, we go to Mendocino on the July 4th weekend.
You're going where?
Just above Point Reyes. You know where Point Reyes is? Like
North of San Francisco.
Yeah, north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, I didn't, but
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It's a nice place. I've been there once before. Should be good, yeah.
Do you know what you're gonna do?
Just roam around the place. And there is a
Look
train.
at fog.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Welcome
This
to California,
weather.
welcome to Northern California in the summer. Have
Whatever.
fog.
Do the other fogs have names? Like San Francisco fog over the bridge is like Carl.
Carl the Fog supposedly it started
Oh.
because a guy at Twitter created the account.
Oh.
And it's actually supposed to be a reference the Tim Burton film where the giant was Carl and he just wanted a friend. And it's supposed Real Big Fish, I think, or Big Fish is a reference to that movie. Why it got named otherwise, I don't know. I think it's the only one I've ever heard of being named.
I just figured like famous I guess weather phenomenons were being named. You know how like hurricanes have names?
It started with someone creating a Twitter account, which they thought was an internal employee. Otherwise, I mean, you go to San Francisco in the summer and it's like 50 degrees and completely fog, and then you go to Marin and you're like, and it's 85. Welcome to California. Have a microclimate.
Well, that doesn't just happen in California. I think it happens anywhere you've got nearby mountains and water.
This area, yeah, true. I mean, this area is pretty extreme. Like you see people lining up to go to Santa Cruz on the freeway and it's just you're driving into fog to go for the summer. I mean, you don't realize it's like 95 out here in the summer, then you're like it's 65 in Santa Cruz.
So I grew up in southern Colorado and I just remember being out in shorts and driving 35 miles to Colorado Springs and then having a foot of snow.
Elevation change though?
So there is some elevation change, but mainly due to how the mountains are, it creates a pressure bowl. So most of the storms in Colorado Springs didn't actually make it south. So you've literally, if you ever go look, you'll see that there is a bowl that frequently doesn't get snow. It's a Highlands Desert, and all around it you'll have feet of snow.
Okay.
Now, every once in a while you'll actually get a reverse moisture condition, and you get a huge amount of snow there, and not in the other areas, but that's maybe every 5 or 6 years, I'm guessing. I never actually plotted the time, it's rare.
Okay.
How long were you in Colorado?
I grew up there, so for the vast majority of my life.
Majority.
It wasn't until I moved to Houston that I left Colorado. 2012.
Somehow the impression of Colorado that's given like so we have these presentations that many schools kind of come in and when in India. So in order for the prospective students to get into the, you know, master's level, like education or something, they have like school authorities come down, make presentations to the students that, hey, we are from this university and we have this courses and, you know, so much and so forth, research and stuff. And Colorado, the way they advertised this was like it's probably the most beautiful state in America. And you know, just come on here, they showed up the mountains and, you know, everything. And that was true. And when I visited, it was actually one of the most beautiful places that I saw.
I think it's really pretty, and Denver here should pretty soon actually have decent mass transit. I started a bond about 40 years ago to actually build trains out, and then it's 7 or 8 years ago, they actually started building the light rail system. Unfortunately, just like here, it's got stops way too frequently and too slow, so we can walk faster than the train, but such is mass transit, it seems. But I enjoy Denver primarily because I like the snow. I like cold. But unlike a snowstorm on the East Coast or, you know, in on the Great Lakes area, it's not a wet snow. It's not as cold. So it will get cold and it will snow, and the next day it's relatively nice. Snow generally doesn't stay on the ground for more than a day or two. The record is that snow is on the ground for a month. So it's not like the East Coast where it's constantly bitter cold.
Sorry, I'm unfamiliar with snow. What is a wet snow compared to, I assume, dry snow?
Slush,
So
heavier.
the same difference of a 90-degree day in Houston versus a 90-degree day in Austin. Imagine the cold. Reverse that. So when it's humid and wet, first of all, the water penetrates all your clothes.
If you sweat, you stay wet longer.
Well, so you
Like a wet snow, if you think about it, it's actually heavier. It's still cold enough where it makes snow, but there's just like a heavier density to it. It's not like the light fluffiness of something like dry. I think part of maybe what you're getting at on the East Coast is also like because it's ocean level.
I'm not identifying the cause of the East Coast. I'm just identifying it's different.
Is it dangerous for driving? So the white snow.
Biggest danger for driving is people driving in it. So my experience growing up in Colorado is that there's the problem with drivers is that there will be some that are incredibly slow and trying to be cautious, and the irony is that that causes people to slam on their brakes. And you know, problem with snow and problem with any condition when you're driving is loss of traction. And you're fine going straight. As long as you go straight, you really run into a problem when you try and change your velocity or your angle. So you turn, you have an acceleration. You try and go faster, you have acceleration, trying to brake. Slamming on the brakes is a problem. The biggest one that I recall seeing going to the ski resorts is the number of Subarus that were off the side of the hill. Because
The four-wheel drives, right?
they got an all-wheel drive Subaru, so that somehow makes them be able to handle better than ice. And that doesn't. But you know, I would get studded snow tires, and that would do so much good as far as helping traction.
But it's not the snow, it's
The
the
chaining, I guess. Even that I've seen people doing
Yeah,
in the
so chains make a lot of noise. What I would do on my car is literally I had two sets of tires. I had a set of summer tires and then a
And
set
then
of
the
tires that was a softer rubber and literally had metal studs in them that would stick through what I think he's gonna mention is the ice. And if you get a warm enough day that it melts off the snow, then there is no ice. The nasty one is when you get enough heat during the day that you create water
The
and then it
sand.
freezes.
Traction. No traction.
I mean, because if you I grew up in Southern California mountains, so I can tell you how many times I don't remember pulling people out of snowbanks, right? I got a four-wheel drive, but it didn't really work too well. And it is the risk isn't so much the snow, it's the melting of it and then the refreezing of it. Like if you go to Canada where it doesn't melt, I mean, I've driven the Great Canadian Highway between like Banff and Jasper and those huge places up there in Alberta, and you see semis doing 120 kilometers. And they're fine because, there's a base pack and they're just going. And it's a wide open stretch also, right? It's not a curve, it's somewhat straight. And it doesn't get to the point where it melts during the day and like refreezes at night and crazy. It just like it's hard packed basically. So maybe we'll drive through it.
I think the other thing that commonly causes accidents, usually pile-ups, is in the mountains you've got bends in the road. So one side of the mountain is hot and dry and the road is clear, but on the other side it's been shaded all day and so it freezes. So you have these people driving, oh, the road is just fine, and they get around the bend and slow down, sweetie.
Pretty much.
Whenever like I'm driving and I have friends with me and there's like a slow down cuz of a accident or something, I'll be like, "Okay, you guys have to narrate." And so I make them like audio commentary slash description of what's going on so I can focus on driving.
There we go, that's what we need.
Slow jazz.
Audio commentary?
We just need to have a system where anytime you have an accident and have radio broadcasts a narration of the accident so people don't have to actually look.
But do people know how to use the radio anymore?
Just put it into Waze, so instead of saying, "Hey, there's an accident. Well, on the left there's a three-car pileup. The first one was a white sedan. Person wasn't looking and turned left into oncoming traffic." The second
Yeah, that's a better one.
The cops arrived 14 minutes later and now they're working on finding a tow truck to get the traffic hauled away. You don't need to look anymore cuz now you know what happened.
Until someone comes up where they're picking up body parts and then you wanna look.
So maybe some censoring.
Yeah. So they're like, "And there was a motorcycle and the helmet's on that side, the forearm is on that side." You're like, "Ah, that's not good."
Yeah, remember there was a I guess like someone was I have no idea what happened, but this is what I assume had happened. It was someone was on the highway and they had their dog in a pickup truck and the dog like flew
Flew
out.
out, yeah.
And
Yeah, I've
then
seen those.
there's just a mess of fur and blood.
Yeah, I've seen those on the highways in Houston one time. Yeah. It's pretty.
Yeah. I saw a mustang hit a deer.
A
Bear?
A bear.
Like a real
And
bear.
that was
A
a
real life
total mustang.
Grizzly, yeah.
I'm guessing more along the lines of baby.
Okay.
Just, I was car behind, it was at night. Saw the mustang slam on the brakes and see this black thing run off. But it wasn't as big as a full size grizzly. I've
Sure,
seen
sure.
those. And it wasn't
Yeah.
It could have been a brown bear, but I guess it wouldn't be at the top of night. But yes, the mustang was totaled. Driver was just fine, but there was no engine blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are powerful.
Usually,
Predator.
like a deer will total out a car for
Yeah,
the
yeah,
insurance. I've
yeah.
had friends where that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
One of my friends, he had a story where if you ever go up to Yellowstone, they have the bison herd, so people basically block traffic. Folks were there and they were driving through and there was an RV at the front of the traffic and there was a motorcycle behind them and the motorcycle couldn't see around the RV to know what was going on. He started revving his engine and honking his horn and the alpha of the bison herd
Yeah.
turned and rammed the front of the motorhome.
Oh.
Like it gored it. And then took up the side and just can opened the side with one of his horns. His folks were like, "I wish we had it on like video." It's like the most horrific story to ever hear. You're like, the guy with the bike like just drops it and takes off running the other direction, not knowing where to go.
Yeah. I recently read, like, I think that this week itself, like a woman's killed with a bobcat with her bare hands. That's what she's claiming.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know why you claim
Yeah,
that.
so it was on CNN, so it's pretty reliable. Like, there might have been some research, but yeah, that's what she was saying.
How would they prove that? Does she have like a body?
I mean, bobcats aren't super big, but I don't know why you would claim that.
Maybe
A lot of the cats are on the endangered species list. I can imagine just claiming, "Oh, it was with my own hands," because she doesn't want to get in trouble for, it's self-defense if it's on her own hands.
Or if you're claiming to have killed a bobcat with your own hands, that could be.
Yeah, I'm sure it's for self-defense and stuff, but yeah, she did it.
It's a weird one, because I've seen bobcats in like hiking trails out here, and they're not big prey. I mean, they're slightly bigger than a house cat, like 20, 25 pounds,
Really?
and they're quick. They don't hang around for you, they don't attack humans, it's not a mountain lion. else, like by Stevens Creek, they've had mountain lions attack, you know, kids or hikers or mountain bikers, and I mean, a mountain lion will mess you up. And they, you know, get a bunch of people, go out and trank it and capture it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there was, like 5 or 6 years ago, there was one at like Miketti Winery out by Stevens Creek in Cupertino where a mountain lion actually killed someone's like 4-year-old. I mean, but like a bobcat to me, that's kind of like a weird one because it's not, I mean, it's like small dog size, like 25 pounds, really. You know, and deer will always go the other direction unless they're spooked. The weird one is, so I live in San Jose, the weird one is someone released feral pigs years ago. So like someone had like pet pigs and they thought it'd be a great idea when they were done. They were like, oh, it's too big for me to keep. So I'll just take it to a park in South San Jose and release it. It'll just in become, you know, part of the environment. And so like now a lot
Green.
Of the, yeah, now a lot of the Santa Clara parks, in like San Jose, so like Quicksilver Park and a couple of the others down there, they have pigs that have basically become feral. And they're 400-pound sows.
Oh my goodness.
And they just like, there's, if you go and Google search later, you can see articles from San Jose Mercury where they're like, and people's lawns were destroyed by a pack of pigs. And I mean, like, even the babies, they just shred everything.
But you know, at least in Texas, it's legal to hunt them from a hot air balloon. Not a helicopter, but a hot air balloon.
With a rifle or a bow?
I believe rifle.
Okay.
I don't know, we have to look. The law was recently passed. Originally, they were trying for helicopter and hot air balloon, and apparently they settled on hot air balloon.
More stable platform, maybe. Less vibration.
Less always.
I have a feeling it has to do with who was invested in what company, but.
I mean, I guess it's like, as long as we can use our guns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You mean, because a helicopter has vibration. So maybe it would be like more likely to hit the target from a hot air balloon, I don't know.
Well, you're talking about wild hogs in the middle of a ranch. It's
I don't know, yeah.
It seems a rather obscure differentiation to me.
I mean, they have a lot of strange laws in various states. Like, I think they have a law that's explicitly like, you cannot sell eyeballs, like human eyeballs. Which, like, generally I would like to not sell human body parts in general, but nice to know you can't sell eyeballs.
Eyeballs, yeah. You know, one of my friends was telling me, you know why people are so nice to each other in Texas? Like, because everybody has guns.
Yeah, I remember growing up, my high school was next, like down the street from a gun range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had a reverse evacuation, so we basically were locked into the school and weren't allowed to leave. Because like there were some gunshots that had gone off, not at the shooting range. Hours later, after the lockdown went away, we found out it was because there were some ducks that the farmers nearby were trying to